So we've been in this whole message on transformation and transforming and changing and growing. It's all about a maturity thing, right? We've been talking about this for 15 weeks. If you're like, man, that's a long time to talk about something. Well, it takes a long time to understand. It takes a long time to believe. It takes a long time to let it rest down in you and actually start growing. Like I said, you can seed it and you can water it and it will start to grow. You know, so we've been transforming as a family, transforming as individuals, and we're all at different levels, which is so cool. That's how it's supposed to be, right? You're going to have people that are brand new to this walk. You're going to have people that have been doing this for 50 years, and we're all still growing. Like, we're never going to get there. Can I tell you that? Like, you're not going to wake up one day and, man, I arrived. Nope, not at all. So we're always going to be going towards it. Where I think it gets better and better and better as we go. But the cool part is we get to do it together. And so God brings people together like this and a family like this so we can walk this thing out. We can iron sharpen iron. We can get this thing going in the right direction. So we've been doing this. And the whole goal is we were born perfect. Like when he formed us perfect at just the way he wanted us. And then, you know, the world takes over and everything happens. And we need to get back to our original blueprint. We need to get back to where he designed us to be. We need to get back to where he designed us before. Look, he breathed life into us, designed us, prepared us for this before he even put us in our mother's womb. Understand that. Like, he had a complete design in his head. He is a master creator, right? And he built you that way to change the world, each and every one of us. And we all do different things. We're all gifted in different ways. We all bring something else to the table. So don't be like the person next to you. Don't ever wake up in the morning and try to be like somebody else. Can I tell you that? If that's not a word for somebody this morning, understand that. Do not try to be like somebody else just because you like the way they look, the way they talk, the way they operate. Be you the way he created you to be. And that's going to be perfect. It's hard sometimes. Like, I'm not the easiest guy to probably get around all the time. I'm a little sarcastic. But what I'm learning is that when I'm me and I let him in to help me, it works better, right? So I don't have to be anybody else. I might not be the greatest speaker, and I don't have to be polished. I don't have to be all those things, right? I just have to be me and let him work on me the way he wants to work on me, and that'll be perfect in his eyes. Does that make sense? And we all have the same thing. So don't be upset if you're not like the person next to you. You're not supposed to be. You're supposed to be you. You're supposed to be you. This is a never-ending process. You know, but the key to transformation is identification. The key is identification. Who are you? Do you truly understand who you are and whose you are? Do you truly understand that he is Papa? He created you. He loves you. He will never not love you. This is big. Because if you don't understand that, then what you do is you spend half your life trying to figure out how to get back into his grace. And he's like, you never left. I've never left you. I've been right there trying to help you through this, trying to walk you through this. I'm never leaving you, right? His sandpaper is just probably a little bit lighter than somebody else's. But he's never going to leave. And sometimes his sandpaper is probably the coarsest sandpaper you're going to find, right? Because, man, I think he hit me with a grinder. I don't know what he did. I don't learn that well, right? I struggle in the learning category. So I'm one of those that's got to be experiential. Like, I got to feel the pain to say, oh, you know what? That hurt. I don't like to take people's words for it. Like, I want to really try it. I want to get my feet wet. That's what it is. So we need to know who we are. When you understand how dearly loved you are, you understand that your transformation is unstoppable. But it's walking differently, right? You're walking in his grace. You're walking in his love. Nothing bothers you, right? Not saying that nothing comes against you. Not saying you don't walk through stuff, but you walk through it differently. You walk through it with hope. You walk through it with an understanding and a promise because you understand who he is. Does that make sense? Just because we're doing this doesn't mean life is easy. We all still going to go through some stuff, but when we go through it, he's with us, and that makes it easier. It's kind of like yesterday. We were out at the pumpkin patch, and I slid down the slide with my granddaughter, and I realized when I got up there that I almost fell because I went to step on. I was like, "Whoa!" I almost went down without her, but I realized she could have went by herself, and I could have went by myself. But it was so much easier and safer when I grabbed her hand, and we went down together. right? And I got to coast her down, and when she got behind me, I just pulled her along. She's like, "Dad!" I'm like, "Let's go." Like, you can't put this body on a slide and say, "Slow down." Like, it is 100 miles an hour. And I'm just bringing her with me. Like, hang on, baby, we got this, right? But that's how he is with us. He's not going to let go. He's not going to let go. And sometimes you'll get stuck in mud, and he's going to yank you out. Right? He's just going to yank you out. He ain't going to let go. He's going to keep digging, keep pulling, keep doing it. All right, so I think about this. You know, last week we talked about going to the gym. I was sharing that with Ken. He's not here. I think I scared him. So if you go to the gym, right, and you work on stuff, you're going to get stronger. If I go to the gym every day and I work out, I'm going to get healthier and I'm going to get stronger. You know what I'm not going to get? Taller. Right? I'm not going to get taller. And this is big because some things are never going to change. It doesn't matter how hard you work. So there's some things in your life that you want to change that he's like, "I'm good with that." What are you trying to change that he said, "I designed it that way"? Leave that alone. Like, let's grow in the areas we can grow in, but why are you so worried about and fixated on stuff that you think is probably the worst thing ever, but he thinks is the greatest thing ever? Oh, I just got this. You know what? I just saw a picture of your son. He is so perfect. You know that? And we got to quit trying to change that because there's something inside of him that's going to change the world. He just flashed him in front of my face. He said, "No, quit worrying about that." Like, we get so fixated on what we think we have to change because it doesn't look like everybody else when he says, that's the perfect part about him. That's what makes him so perfect. Don't worry about that. He goes, "I got that. When I'm ready, I'll release it." And then you'll be like, "Oh my gosh." You'll be like, "Stop." Oh, man. All right, Lord. There's some other things that'll never change, and that's his love for you. And you need to understand that and own that and realize that, that his love will never change. I want to read out of Isaiah 54. Were you able to get that in the Passion Translation? Because sometimes you do, sometimes. I put it in both just in case. Because I like to read it out of the Passion. It's out in the Passion. You can get it online. But I'll read it out of both. This is the NLT. So we'll read it out of NLT first. Isaiah 54, 9 through 10 says, "Just as I swore in the time of Noah that I would never again let a flood cover the earth, so now I swear that I will never again be angry and punish you. For the mountains may move and the hills despair, but even then my faithful love for you will remain. My covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord who has mercy on you." Come on. Right? And some people say, "Well, that's written." No, that was prophecy, y'all. That was prophetic speaking. He's speaking it over your life. Understand that. This is not a New Testament thing. Some people go, "Man, you just preach out of New Testament." No, there you go, Old Testament. Saying the same thing. His love for you will never change. He's done with it. Right? We got to understand that, and we got to believe that, how much he loves us. Oh, and in the Passion, it says, "To me, this is like the time when I vowed that the waters of Noah's flood would never again cover the earth. Now I vow to you that I will neither be angry with you nor rebuke you. Even if the mountains were to crumble and the hills despair, my heart of steadfast, faithful love will never leave you. And my covenant of peace with you will never be shaken, says Yahweh, whose love and compassion will never give up on you." Come on, man. Never give up on you. He'll never give up. Like, I wish I could say that about people in my life, but I can't. And I'm sure we all are in the same boat where people will give up on you, you know. But I'm telling you, I'm thankful for the ones that never gave up on me, right? And I'm so thankful for him because he's definitely never given up on me, and he never will. Man, that's so good. So it's never going to change. His love will never change, right? So there's some things that that will never change that we do. And we're talking about this transformation, so that's why I really want to talk about some specific things. I'm going to jump around a little bit. Because his love for you never has. His love for you isn't determined by the level of transformation you're at. Does that make sense? So you could be brand new to this. You could be the caterpillar or you could be the butterfly. Doesn't matter. He loves you the same. I wish I could remember how much he loved me as a caterpillar sometimes, because that was an overwhelming love. Like, that was a moment in my life when you're at the lowest and you're just getting into this thing and you feel the power of God that's so wonderful and powerful. I wish that's how it was all the time. But I can tend to forget those things sometimes as you get doing what he wants you to do and operating. You're like, he's so good. He's so good. You're like, man, I remember. Man, just go back and think about those times when he was pulling you out of the mud. Think about the stuff that you were going through and how much he loved you and how that felt. Don't ever lose sight of that. Man, he loves us that much. That will never, ever, ever stop. Don't lose sight of that. I put a lot of scripture in here, and I'm sure I'm going to figure out why as I read through them. Now, look, this is how he works. This morning, this is what was playing in my head. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. I'm going to read out of the Passion. It says, I kneel humbly in awe before the Father, our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the perfect father of every father and child in heaven and on earth. And I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Come on. I want to read that little bit again. And I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. So I pray that. And once that's in you, it says, then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you. And the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. What becomes the root of your life? The resting place of his love. When you rest in his love, that is what will power you and energize you for the rest of your life. It says in verse 18, then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences. The great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Whew. That's why they call it the Passion Translation. Because, man, if that just doesn't hit you and go, man, I just need more of that. Like, why don't they have like one of those Tesla charge ports with that stuff in it? Right? You can just pull in and plug in and get filled up, man, because I need that to get me through every single day. You need to be fully charged every single day. Understand his love every single day. So how much does he love you? I'm still trying to prove to you how much he loves you. And this is all scripture, y'all. So if you're doubting that he loves you because you think you made a mistake or you done stuff wrong in your life, I'm just showing you the scripture that says I love you this much. And you probably know this one. Let's go to John 3:16. Right, I'm sure y'all know this one. If not, you wore it on your cheek anyway. Right? Someone put this on a tattoo and never read it before. John 3:16 out of the NIV says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It says, God so loved what? The world. The whole world. Whether you are good, whether you're bad, whether you're in trouble or not, whether you're walking with him or not, he loved you. He said, I gave my son because I love the world and everything in it. So we can't walk around thinking that he loves us more than somebody else. Doesn't work that way. I don't care who you are. He doesn't love anybody else more than he loves you. Look, he can't love you any more than what he loves you right now. So you can't earn any more love. Just doesn't work that way. He loves you so much right now, he won't change. He's not going to change. The only thing that changes is your understanding of how much he loves you. All right? So that's why we got to stay strong in it. It has nothing to do with where you're at. I think about my grandkids right now. How many people got grandbabies? All right. So we got some grandparents in here. How many people have kids? All right. Look, grandbabies are coming. But here's the thing. Think about your kids and your grandbabies. You love them no matter what. I don't care. I don't care what my kid does. I will always love them. I glow when I see my grandbaby. And all I could imagine this morning while I'm sitting in my chair was the fact that, man, he loves us like that. Like every morning he's waiting for you to actually just wake up. And he's just staring over you like, come on, when you gonna wake up? When you gonna wake up so we can hang out today? When you gonna wake up so we can go do some stuff today? Man, I got stuff to do and I wanna do it with you. That's how he is the whole time. And a lot of times we ignore him. How do you feel when your kids ignore you or your grandbabies ignore you? You don't let that happen. Like, I snatch my grandbaby up. You better not try to walk by without giving me a hug. Like, I'll pick you up and squeeze it out of you. Well, I think that's how he is with us. I mean, he's standing there going, good morning, and you walk by, and he's like, oh. And then he's chasing you. He's like, pretty soon you're going to turn around. And one time, when you turn around because you're a little lost, I'm just going to be there and I'm going to embrace you. Yeah. Right? He doesn't quit. But man, just like you wouldn't quit on your own kids. But you know, what's bad about this is that he loves us so much, he's going to let us go through some stuff. You know, sometimes you got to let the kids and the grandkids go through some stuff. You know that? You got to let them learn on their own. You got to let them fall up the steps or fall down the steps. You got to let them get dirty, right? You got to let them eat some dirt once in a while, right? It's just how it is. And I think he treats us the same way. He says, because I'm going to take everything you go through in life, everything that happens to you, I'm going to use it for good. We already know that. But he says, guess what? How I'm going to do it? As I pull you through it, that is now going to be your story that changes somebody else's life. Right? And sometimes he's got to let us go through it. Right? Do you believe that? Because some people go, but if he's that good, why is he letting me go through it? Why didn't he just stop it from happening? Well, because we need to grow. He needs to teach us. And then he knows he wants to use us. He already knows our purpose. Right? You understand that I couldn't be up here sharing anything if I didn't go through what I went through? Because it wouldn't have meant anything. You want to know why I worship the way I worship and why I love to do this and why I love to do it? Because I know what he did in my life. And when you experience what somebody does in your life, it changes everything about you, right? And that's what it takes. So sometimes he's going to let you go. That's the way you want to go. Like, all right, I'll be there at the end. But guess what? It's going to be good. And you're going to have a story to share. And it's going to change lives if you'll let him. If you'll let him. So there's always going to be storms and threats in our lives. You're not immune from them. It's how we go through them that matters. They're still coming. You understand, the hurricane came through. It didn't stop. It came through. And there's some people that were like, hey, I learned from the last one, and they got out. And other ones that still stayed, right? He didn't stop the storm. But he's there to pick things up. And like I said last week, with the other storms, he's going to use all this to his good because it's going to bring people together. You're going to see a massive pouring of his love around a whole bunch of people. So he'll use it for his good, but he didn't stop it. And people will go, man, but if we serve an all-powerful God, why did he just stop it? Well, maybe because there's a moment in our life when we get so full of ourselves that we forget about how important it is to love our neighbors. So when a storm starts coming, he just says, you know what? I guess I'm going to have you love your neighbors now. It's time to love your neighbors. And they're going to go through some stuff, but you're going to be right there to pick them up. He doesn't cause it, but man, he'll use it. It kind of brought me up. It was funny. I love teaching the students on Wednesday now because, man, they give me so much good material for Sunday. It's like they prepare me for my sermon. This week, we just kind of got off and started talking about some stuff. We were talking about faith again, but it took us down another road. And I started talking about Jesus walking on the water. So I want to share that this morning too, because I think it's an important part because it talks about the storm, right? It talks about the storm. So I think it's for somebody. Go to Mark 6, 45 through 52. Mark 6, 45 through 52. So it starts off after everyone had their meal. So let's just stop. If it says after something happened, go back and figure out what the after is. This is right after the feeding of the 5,000 men. So understand that the disciples, they were all sent off two by two, right? And they come back trying to explain all these wonderful things that God is doing in them and through them. And they're sharing the message everywhere. They come back and Jesus is like, it's time to rest. And as they're going to rest, he comes upon, people won't leave him alone. You're Jesus. You're walking through the place and everybody's getting around you and getting beside you. And they want to know what's going on. So he gets to this place and now they got to feed 5,000 people. This is where he uses the little boy in his lunch and he feeds them. Right? So this is right after that. So these disciples are exhausted. They're tired. They were out sharing the gospel, loving on people. Then they come back, they experience a huge miracle, right? And then right after that, it says, after everyone had their meal, Jesus instructed his disciples to go back into the boat and go ahead of him and sail to the other side of Bethsaida, which actually stands for the fishing place. So that's the translation of Bethsaida. But it says, after everyone had their meal, Jesus instructed his disciples to get into the boat and go ahead of him and sail to the other side of the lake. They say it's like 8 miles across or around and one of those things. So you figure 4 to 8 miles. Jesus is Jesus. He knows what's going on. Jesus knows they're going to be going out into the lake. Jesus knows there's a storm coming. And Jesus instructs them to get in the boat and go into it. So if you don't think he's going to put you through some stuff, these guys are tired. They're exhausted. They just watched huge miracles. And he tells them to get in the boat and go to the other side. So he dispersed the crowd, said goodbye to his disciples, then slipped away to pray on the mountain. So he sends his disciples across the lake, gives them orders, and they have to obey. And they're obeying him. They get in the boat and they get going. He says, I need to go pray. Why? Man, we just fed 5,000 people. I'm tired too. Jesus is like, I need to go fill up. I need to go plug in, right? He goes, I need to get back to my Father. I need to go plug in. I need to be energized. It says, as night fell, the boat was in the middle of the lake and Jesus was alone on land. The wind was against the disciples and he could see that they were straining at the oars, trying to make headway. So he sees them. He sees him in the middle of the storm. He sees him struggling. He sees him trying to make headway. He put him in the storm. And he's still on land. That was when? As night fell. Just understand the concept. It's getting dark. It's nighttime. He sees them in the middle of the lake struggling. And he knows they're struggling. He knows they're in the middle of a storm. But the next thing we see is when it was almost morning. He gonna make you go through some stuff. He let them struggle all night. He said, I love you this much that you need to struggle. You need to go through this because it's gonna make you stronger. It's gonna make you better. I've got my hand on you. Don't worry. Like, it might not look like it. It might not feel like it. I'm pretty sure they're exhausted. They're tired. They're probably fighting with each other. They probably got one person rowing one way, one person rowing the other. They're doing circles. They don't know what's going on. It's dark. Ain't like they're out there with generators with lights. These guys are in the middle of the night on a lake in a dinghy. Trying to figure out how to get to the other side. And they're fighting it. Then it says, when it was almost morning, Jesus came to them, walking on the surface of the water, and he started to pass by them. He started to pass by them. He waited till morning, and then he walked right by them. He said, what's up? How you guys doing? I'm going to the other side where I told you I was going to be. I told you to meet me on the other side. You're stuck in the storm. I'm going to the other side. He was walking by them. Like you would think, you know, if it was your kids, what would you do with your kids? Man, come on. I know y'all. Y'all probably fly in a helicopter and pull them out. Helicopter parents. Stuff that pops in my head when I say stuff. I don't even understand. But think about this. We would not do that to our kids. We would jump in the boat. We'd probably buy them a motor. We'd probably figure out a way to get them to the other side faster. Jesus said, I've let you struggle all night. And that's not enough. I'm going to walk right by. I'm going to walk right on by. He said, I'm going to pass by them. He started to pass by them. When they all saw him walking on the waves, they thought he was a ghost and screamed out in terror. But he said to them at once, don't yield to fear. Have courage. It's really me. I am. Here's what I love. Allie brought this up. I loved what she said in the student ministry. She shared that because I had them all read through the scripture as students and come up with what God's given them about this story, which is really good when you watch these students actually pull stuff out of the Bible, which is really good. But anyway, Allie got to share at the end, and she said, it's funny that when you're in a storm, you don't really see him clearly. See, they're in the middle of the storm. They don't recognize him. What's different? Like, you knew what he looked like when you got in the boat. You were walking in obedience. You jumped in the boat in obedience to get to the other side. And because a storm comes up, you don't even recognize what he looks like anymore. Because fear takes over. Anxiety takes over. Everything comes in that's worldly takes over. You forget who you are. You forget who he is. You forget the promises. What did he promise them? Meet me on the other side. Just go. I'll meet you on the other side. He didn't say, if you can row hard enough, I'll meet you on the other side. He said, get in the boat, go to the other side. I'll meet you there. He had a game plan. He had a purpose, right? And they forgot. They couldn't even figure out what he looked like at the time. That's how far gone they were. They just experienced some of the biggest miracles that we hear about in the Bible. He fed 5,000 people. The disciples are like, that just happened, man. This dude just created food, right? And he fed all these people. But even through the biggest miracles, they're still doubting. His disciples, the one that, you know, I mean, these are the disciples. Like, they're supposed to be the best of the best, right? And they're all doubting. So if you walk in a little bit of doubt and a little bit of fear and a little bit of anxiety, don't worry about it. The disciples did it. Understand one thing. He's right next to you. If you're walking in obedience, he's right there. He didn't leave you. He just wants you to go through it. We talk about this all the time, man. There's valleys and hills and walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Right? It says walk through, not stop. Quit stopping in the valley and being worried about what's going on in your life. Right? Just focus on him. And let him get you through that. And when you get through that, you're going to turn around and go, man, thank you, Jesus. I got through. And then guess what's going to happen? You're going to run into somebody. They're going to go, man, I'm stuck in the valley. And you're going to be like, oh, man, I was just there. Come here. Let me show you the way out. Let me show you the way out. I've been there. Let me show you who got me out. See, that's the point of this. Let me show you who got me out. Let me show you who pulled me out. We're all supposed to share the gospel. That's the gospel, by the way. He loves you, and let me show you that man who loves you, and he'll pull you out because he pulled me out. Why would he do it for me if he loves you just like he loves me? This is where we got to pick it up. This is where we got to go. It says, then he came closer and climbed into the boat with them, and immediately the storm wind became still. They were completely and utterly overwhelmed with astonishment. And here it is, their doubting hearts had not grasped his authority and power over all things in spite of just having witnessed the miraculous feeding. They were still doubting. When can we stop doubting and just start trusting? When can we start believing that when he tells us to do something, he's got our back? When he instructs us to do it, just go with it. Even when it doesn't look good, even when the wind is blowing, even when we're rowing harder, can we just trust him and let him get through? See, we want to avoid the storms, right? Look, I ain't going to say this now, but I'm kind of glad I went through the storm. I can say that now. I wasn't glad going through the storm. I was a mess. It sucked. It was a bad storm. But man, I'm so glad to be on the other side of that storm because now I'm like, man, there ain't nothing that's going to happen that can compare to that. And you pull me through that, then you'll get me through anything. right? So quit avoiding the storm. Sometimes you just got to go right through it. Because he's not going to move it. He's just waiting for you to go through it so he can strengthen you along the way. So he can come along beside you and go, man, trust me when you're in the storm. But if you keep avoiding it, see, that's why we don't want to have honest conversations with people. Because it leads to a storm that you don't want to walk through. Because you don't want to own up to something. You don't want to share something. You don't want to share something about who you are. So therefore, you're not willing to go through the storm. And he goes, you understand the freedom that comes in that? Do you understand how much my love will cover you and protect you if you just get honest and talk with people and share what's going on in your life? That will bring freedom. That freedom will lead you into other realms of all kinds of spiritual things that can happen in your life when you have the freedom to actually walk this thing out. That's why we do this. That's why you go around and hug people and love on people in this room. Because hopefully through this and through getting together, you can start trusting them. So you can say, man, this is what I'm dealing with. Right? So keep moving. Second Corinthians 4, 13 through 18. Says, we have the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures when it says, first I believed, then I spoke in faith. So we also first believe, then speak in faith. We do this because we are so convinced that he who raised Jesus will raise us up with him, and together we will all be brought into his presence. Yes, all things work for your enrichment so that more of God's marvelous grace will spread to more and more people. Yes, all things. Let's go back to that. Yes, all things work for your enrichment so that more of God's marvelous grace will spread to more and more people through you. I'm going to add that. Resulting in an even greater increase of praise to God, bringing him even more glory. So it's going to work through you. His grace is going to work through you. And then you're going to share that and tell people about that. So in verse 16, so no wonder we don't give up. For even though our outer person gradually wears out, our inner being is renewed every single day. We view our slight, short-lived troubles in the light of eternity. We see our difficulties as the substance that produces for us an eternal, weighty glory far beyond all comparison, because we don't focus our attention on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but the unseen realm is eternal. Man, I love that, man. He comes right in there and says, man, why are we so worried about these little bitty things? How much do they actually weigh in on eternity? We get so caught up on the little stuff. Like, man, let's drop the little stuff and let's focus on the big stuff. You know how many people need to know who he is? That's kind of big. Instead of worrying about you not sharing stuff because of what happened in your life, even though he pulled you out, maybe that's why you're supposed to share that stuff, because there's more people that need to know him, and that's the eternal stuff. It's okay not to be perfect. You understand he doesn't use the perfect people? I think he could. But just look back in history. He uses all the ones that aren't. That's what I love about him. Because he could have used all the ones he could have. Come on, he had plenty of people that knew the word, studied it. He had all the Pharisees. He had all these scribes. He had all these people that knew everything about the word. And he's going to use a fisherman. He's going to use the ones that struggle with anger. He's going to use the ones that deal with stuff. That's who he's going to use. So if you're struggling with some stuff, can I tell you this? Be thankful. And be ready, because he's fixing to grab you by the hand and take you for a walk that's going to change the world if you let him. And if you're not struggling with anything, great, awesome, awesome. If you're not struggling, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. He'll use you too if you'll say yes. Because there's a bunch of people out there that are perfect that need to know him. You can probably find them in churches all over. No, I'm just. Forgive me, Jesus. There's a bunch of perfect ones out there, right? What we see is temporary. All right, what's going on is temporary. You know, I love this. I want to read what David had to say when he wrote in Psalms 116. I'm going to read that whole thing. Because, you know, that's probably one guy I know in the Bible went through some stuff. Man, he was on top of the game. He was on the bottom of the game. He was getting chased. He was getting, you know, attacked. He's had his sons trying to kill. He had all kinds of stuff going on in his life. All right. And he wasn't perfect. He had his setbacks. But in Psalms 116, he says, I am passionately in love with God because he listens to me. He hears my prayers and answers them. As long as I live, I'll keep praying to him. It's up there, good. As long as I live, I'll keep praying to him. For he stoops down to listen to my heart's cry. Death once stared me in the face, and I was close to slipping into its dark shadows. I was terrified and overcome with sorrow. I cried out to the Lord, God, come and save me. He was so kind, so gracious to me. Because of his passion towards me, he made everything right and he restored me. Come on. So I've learned from my experience that God protects the vulnerable, for I was broken and brought low, but he answered me and came to my rescue. Now I can say to myself and to all, relax and rest, be confident and serene, for the Lord rewards fully those who simply trust in him. Who does he reward? Those who simply trust in him.
Yes.
God has rescued my soul from death's fear and dried my eyes of many tears. He's kept my feet firmly on his path and strengthened me so that I may please him and walk before Yahweh in his fields of life. Whew. He's kept my feet firmly on his path and strengthened me. Why? Why does he strengthen you? Why does he keep you on the path? It says right there, right? It says he's kept my feet firmly on his path and strengthened me so I may please him and walk before Yahweh in his fields of life. Even when it seems I'm surrounded by many liars and my own fear, and even though I'm hurting in my suffering and trauma, I still stay faithful to God and speak words of faith. So when you're dealing with all that stuff, speak words of faith. So now, what can I ever give back to God to repay him for the blessings he's poured out on me? Man, I will lift up his cup of salvation and praise him extravagantly for all that he's done for me. I will fulfill the promise I made to God in the presence of his gathered people. When one of God's holy lovers dies, it is costly to the Lord, touching his heart. Lord, because I am your loving servant, you have broken open my life and freed me from my chains. Now I'll worship you passionately and bring to you my sacrifice of praise, drenched with thanksgiving. I'll keep my promise to you, God, in the presence of your gathered people, just like I said I would. I will worship you here in your living presence in the temple in Jerusalem. I will worship and sing hallelujah, for I praise you, Lord. Man. Praise and worship. I will praise you passionately because of everything I've ever gone through and everything you've pulled me through and everything you've done in me and through me. I will praise you passionately. So that's why when you see people up here, you know, Mike's blowing the horn, blowing the shofar, right? He's praising him passionately. When we see people waving flags, they're praising him passionately. When we see people jumping up and down and laying on their face and running back and forth, they're praising him passionately for what he's done in their life. We're not supposed to hide that. I mean, I know it looks weird sometimes. About as weird as Ryan's sunglasses today. I was just waiting to jab that one out there. But come on. We praise him passionately because of what he's done, everything he's pulled us through. You know, and when we do that, I hope it stirs up somebody to say, man, you're a little different. But I hope it causes that inside somebody to say, you're a little different. Why? Why do you act like that? because I want to share everything that he's ever done in my life with everybody I come in contact with. You know why I love going into prisons? Because that's what we get to do. We're doing it again in like 2 weeks. We're going back into Tutwiler. Yeah, we get to have a hope event there. We're bringing in a worship team. We're going in there and we're nailing them, man. We're going right back in there and doing what we do, which is love on them. Man, truly love on them and share the gospel with them and just pour into them. Man. Why? Because that's what he's done to us. It was funny. I think the first, what was it? Where's the first one we went to? It wasn't Bibb County. What was it? Bullock County. When we went in there, we had no clue what to expect. It was our first hope event. We went into the sanctuary and they brought all these guys in and we're all like, I don't know what we're supposed to do. Like, we had a worship team. And I think that's, and it just, man, it just blew up. It was phenomenal. I think another time, it was the time we went into the teen challenge place. Wasn't it that everybody just shared their testimony? That was phenomenal. We never got to do it. Like, we went into worship and we're like, I just felt like the Holy Spirit said, why don't you look at the team up here? Because there were like, I don't know, 8 of us or 9 of us. And I'm like, why don't you just let us share our testimony and tell you what we've been through? By the time we got done, they were praying for us. They're like, man, y'all been through a lot. Like, can we pray for them guys? You know? But it's so cool because that's what God's done in our life. And when we got to share that with them, they understood that, man, ain't no perfect people out there. The only difference is some of us grab hold of the one that's reaching his hand down. Man, we grab a hold tight. Because he ain't going to let go if you don't let go. Man, he ain't going to let go of you. So grab on tight. Grab on tight. Man, when I grabbed my grandbaby the other day, I wasn't going to let go of her. I just think that's how he is, man. He said, I ain't going to let go of you. But man, you're going to squirm. Man, you know how long I squirmed? I was like, go with me. Just let me do it my way. And he says, I ain't going to let you go, man. He said, just do it my way and see how awesome it is. Watch what I can do in you and through you. I built you for this. You understand that? If you're going through a storm right now, he built you for the storm. Because he knows what's on the other side. He says, I built you so perfectly when you come out of this storm, man, I'm going to energize you. And guess what? You're going to go out there and you're going to pour into some people and show people who I am. And it's going to change the world because I know what's in you because I put it there. You know, and it doesn't matter if you missed it once or twice. Doesn't matter because that calling doesn't change. That promise doesn't change. He's just waiting for you to accept it and walk in it. Right? That's it. That's all it takes. So he's never not going to love you. He's going to help you through every storm you come to. And guess what? He's going to use that storm you go through to fuel a praise that's going to be so extravagant. People are going to want to know what's wrong with you. And that's good. That's good. We're supposed to look different. We're not supposed to look like the world. Does that make sense? If we look like them, we're failing. We're failing. We need to look different. And that difference comes from who we are. Don't pretend to be somebody else. Be who you are. Because there's a lot of pretenders out there. There's a lot of people that have lost their identity and they're trying to find it in something. So show them that you can be who you are, in who you are, right? And let him operate through that. And that's going to take a pressure off them to just connect with him as fast as they possibly can. And it's so good. It's so good. So what you're going through, if you're going through it right now, can I tell you this? If you're going through it right now, you're going through it so other people can be free. Think about that. Maybe it ain't about you at all. Because God knows you're strong enough to go through it. But maybe you're going through it because he already knows who he's going to line you up with in the future. And what you're going through is simply going to help them get through what they're not powerful enough to get through by themselves right now. Does that make sense? Yes. You guys get something out of this today? We good? Come on, let's stand to our feet. Come on, where's the worship team? Let's worship a little bit. Just a little bit as I pray. You can worship all day if you want. I'm sorry, I just kind of abruptly shut this one off. So just felt like it was time to stop. So we're going to have our prayer team up here. We're going to get some music going. here's what I believe, man, is that it, if he's touched you, then we should worship him. We should praise him. There is nothing wrong with telling him how much you love him and how much you care about him, because he loves you and cares about you. So I'm going to take every opportunity I get to do that. I'm going to take every moment I have to worship him. I'm going to take care of that every chance I get. So this morning, I want you to know, we're going to play some music. You can worship right where you're at. But if you need prayer, if you need help, you're going through a storm and you want to share that with somebody, you want to talk with somebody about that, man, we are open ears. We want to pray for you. We want to help you walk through this thing. You are not alone. And I guarantee you, there's one good thing about being a pastor, and there's several bad things about being a pastor. I get to hear everybody's problems, and I don't share that with anybody. But what's really cool is that I know what most people have gone through in their life. So when somebody else comes to me and says, this is what I'm going through, I know how to connect some people without telling people what you're going through. I just know how to grab their hand and say, hey, man, meet Greg. What's up, Greg? How you doing, man? Love on this guy for a second. I ain't even got to tell you that Greg's been through something that you've been through, because I know who Greg is. And Greg's going to be like, hey, man, this is what God's done in my life. I ain't even got to, like, that just happens because of who he is, because of what God's doing in him. So I know a lot of stuff that I don't share. But if you got something you want to tell me what you're going through, allow me to try to connect you with some people. That's what we're here for. Man, we're here to take care of each other and love on each other and get stronger. So, Father, right now, have your way in this house. We love you. We thank you that we can come in here today. We can celebrate you. We can love on you. Whew, Father, thank you for pulling us all out of all the problems. Thank you for being the one that's always there. Thank you for being the one that's always been there for us. Father, thank you for letting us go through the storm. Man. Thank you for not stopping it before we went through it. But now use us, Lord. Show us how to use all that experience we got, all that knowledge we got, all that, the grace that we receive. Show us how to pour that into other people. Show us how to find a way to love on other people right now. Open doors that need to be open right now and close those that need to be closed. Show us a way, Father. Let my storm be somebody else's breakthrough. Come on, let our storms be somebody else's breakthroughs. Man, Father, we don't have it all together, but man, we want to. Man, we so just want you to rule everything we do. So have your way in this house and touch every heart in here. We thank you, Father. We thank you. Man, we love you so much. So thankful we get to do this for you and with you. Man, have your way. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.